Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Real joy to be here with you. Having been here before and knowing of the congregation, before it was even in a congregation, I'm delighted to be back here with you today to rejoice with you in the good Bible study this morning, in the worship service, and for Brother Bonnie to kindly let me have his place in speaking to you. A joy to be here today. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not love, I'm become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mystery and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I can remove mountains and have not love, I'm nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. Love suffereth long and is kind. Love endeth not, vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not its own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Love never faileth. Whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I thought as a child. I understood as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know fully as I am also fully known. And now abideth faith, hope, and love. These three. And the greatest of these is love. As I thought about today, I could not think of a more appropriate passage to begin with this congregation than 1 Corinthians 13. Of all the congregations that I know of in the United States, I think this congregation, I knew of the love that started you, and something of the love that's kept you going all these days until today. A people known for love. A people that have exhibited that love. People that continue to practice that love. And so, that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. What I believe the church at Plymouth is practicing. If you're a part of this congregation, congratulations to you. If by some reason you have become disgruntled in life and you're not practicing love, then hope it'll be an encouragement for you to practice love more than in the past. If you're a loving person, I hope it'll encourage you to keep on being a loving person. You see, love is the greatest. Have you ever thought about how you'd like to have oratorical ability to move crowds by the multitude? I've dreamed and thought about how I'd like to be able to preach like Foy Wallace Jr. used to preach, or M.B. Hardiman used to preach, preachers that I knew of, or preach like Marshall Keble, so that in a lifetime you had helped to baptize 40,000 people, as he's reported to have done. I mean, these were great preachers I heard as a young person and an older person, some of them, when they were older. I'd love to be able to move people like they moved people, wouldn't you? A lot of people say, well, if I could preach like that, I'd preach too. But you know, love is greater. Love is greater than oratorical ability. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, Oh, I'd love to be able to preach in Chinese or in German, Brother Monty, or in something other than Pasa Thai and Pasa Angrid, Thai or in English. I'd love to be able to go into a country and by miracle speak their language like they speak it, wouldn't you? That'd be great. I'll tell you, love is greater. It's greater than miraculous ability that the apostles had. Love is greater. It's greater than being able to perform miracles, to be able to say to this mountain, go jump in the ocean, and it do it. Would you like to be able to walk on the water like Jesus did? Living in an island, Trinidad being an island, I've often thought about walking on water. A little strange that people that claim to perform miracles today as Jesus did in the days gone by never tried that particular miracle. But I've thought about how you could draw people by the thousands if you announce, I'll be walking on the water today like Jesus did. And then do it. The crowds would come by thousands to hear you and to see you. And wouldn't that be great? There's something greater. It's to love like Jesus taught us to love. Love is just greater. It's greater than miraculous ability. It's greater than the ability to proclaim God's word directly from heaven by miracle. Have you ever heard of anybody saying, well, I'd sure like to help Brother Monty go to Germany and Brother Parker go to Trinidad and all the preachers to spread the gospel. If I could just be a millionaire, I'd love to give $1 million, but last time, I'm not a millionaire. There's something greater than that. Greater than being able to give $1 million is to give love. Because if you gave all you have, and you gave all you are, even your own body, and you didn't have love, it would be of no value to you. Love is the greatest. And so this morning, that's by way of introduction. Love, the greatest. And you and I have the privilege of practicing it. Now you might be asking, am I loving? Well, you'll have to decide. Love suffers long and is kind. Love envieth not, vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, does not. Well, yes, you can check yourselves out. All of us can. And see about our love and how we are making progress in this Christianity. As our Brother Jerry taught us this morning, it's not just attending services or doing something that can be seen, but how is it? Did it start in the heart, and is your life changed? So this morning I'd like to suggest to us some things that we really have to practice love in reference to, number one, Jesus Christ. Jesus is the thought, the theme, and the subject of the whole Bible. And the Old Testament spoken of as the one that's going to come. He's the one that would be called by great names. Isaiah tells us something about this in Isaiah along about chapter 9 in verses 6 and 7. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Wonderful Jesus. We come to the New Testament. The angel told Mary in the book of Luke chapter 1 in verse 30, down through verse 33. Fear not, Mary, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Wonderful Jesus! John 3:16 and 17, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But then verse 17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Jesus is wonderful. And so as we think of Jesus, we have to love Him. We have to love Jesus. We have to love Him because He first loved us. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 19. Love that abounds in our heart must be because He loved us. God loved us and Jesus loved us and Jesus died for us and we love Him because He loved us. For when we were yet without strength in due season, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commended His love toward us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being justified by His blood, we should be saved from wrath through Him. For if while we're enemies, we were reconciled unto God by the death of His Son, much more than being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Jesus died for us. He lived for us. He gave His life for us. Oh, we have to love Him. Have to love Him. And so in the Church of Christ, that's what we're striving to lay as the foundation. You remember upon one occasion, Jesus said to His apostles, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said to him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed unto thee, but my Father which art in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter. And upon this rock I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against." No, the rock wasn't Peter. The rock was what Peter had just said. Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God. And we love Him because He first loved us. And we don't ever want to forget that. Number two. This morning I'd like to suggest to us the old book that all of us have a copy, most of us with us today. We have to love. The gospel of Christ has to be that which we love. It must be that which we follow. It must be that which we hold on to. It must be that which directs our steps. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6, "These things, brethren, have I in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos, that you might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written." The written word of God. "Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth of the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another out of a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and the glory of man is the flower of the grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof fadeth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel," not the Ten Commandments, "this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you." We have to love it. In the book of 2 Thessalonians, we read in chapter 2, beginning along with about verse 9 and 10, "And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not a love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them a strong delusion, that they might all believe a lie, who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness." If you don't love the truth of God's word, God will allow you to believe a lie and be damned. We have to love the truth. We have to love it. It does make a difference what the Bible says. We have to go to it for our guide. You remember Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." It's the wonderful word of God. And you wonder sometimes, didn't Joseph Smith ever read in the Bible? what the Apostle Paul said about it in Galatians chapter 1, verse 6, 8, when he said, though we are an angel from heaven, verse 8, to preach unto you any other gospel than that which we preach unto you, let him be accursed. Even an angel not from hell, but from heaven, to preach unto you something else, let him be accursed. What? So you love this book. You love the Word of God. You love that which is written. Jesus said, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken the wise man that built his house upon a rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, I will liken unto a foolish man that built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall thereof. Matthew chapter 7, beginning with verse 24 and going to the end of the chapter. Jesus expects his people to love his word. The word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joint and marrow, and the discerner of the thought and intent of the heart. Hebrews 4 and 12. God's wonderful, wonderful word. Must love it. We teach our children, and wasn't that wonderful this morning, the children's class before our regular Bible class, encouraging those boys and girls from the very beginning to know what Genesis 1 has to say, to know the revelation of the last book in the Bible, to know that there are 27 books in the New Testament. We love this book. It's the Word of God. If you don't love the book, you don't love that which is true and right. And God will let you love something else if you don't love the truth. We must love Jesus, and we must love His Word. But number three, not only must we love Jesus and love His Word, we must love His church. Sometimes people feel like they're tired of churchanity. And says, Jesus, yes, Bible, yes, but church, no, no. In the book of Ephesians chapter 5, beginning with verse 25, he spoke to husbands through the Apostle Paul and said, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, how are you going to step in the steps of Jesus? How are you going to follow in his steps? By loving his church. Loving Jesus, loving his word, loving his church. It does make a difference what you're a member of. It does make a difference what you say about his body. It does make a difference where you are located religiously. Jesus said in Matthew 16, 18, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Jesus is that rock, as we have seen. His word is the guide, and he expects us to build on him. He expects us to be like Jesus. In the book of Acts, chapter 20, in verse 28, the Apostle Paul said to elders of the church of Ephesus, feed the church of the Lord, which he hath purchased with his own blood. The Bible teaches that Jesus bought his church with his blood. It makes a difference what church you're a member of. You see, you can't join his church like you would join some lodge or something. It's not done that way. And men can't vote you in and vote you out. Any church that votes you in and votes you out is not the church of the Bible. In the book of Acts chapter 2, verse 47, and the Lord, that's what this book says, the book of Jesus, Jesus is the rock, and the book's the guide. Acts 2, 47, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. He never makes a mistake. The Lord adds to the church daily such as should be saved. That's what I'm talking about. We're talking about the church of the Bible. The church that Jesus built. The church that Jesus loves. The church that Jesus adds the saved people to. It's called the kingdom of God's dear Son. The passage that we have quoted twice already this morning, Matthew 16:18, on this rock I will build my church. The very next verse says, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. I'll build my church, I'll give you the keys to it. I'll build my church, I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever you shall bind on earth, given to all the apostles, shall be bound in heaven. Bound first in heaven, and then that's what they bound. They had no right to bind anything on earth that had not already been bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt bound on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. But he said, I'll build my church and I'll give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And that refers you back, perhaps in your thoughts, all the way back to Daniel chapter 2, verse 44 in the Old Testament. When Daniel was talking to old King Nebuchadnezzar and telling him about a dream he dreamed, and it was God speaking to him, and what God was really teaching was that in the days of the Roman Empire, that God was going to set up his kingdom. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against that kingdom. That wonderful family of God. Daniel 2:44. God did build his kingdom. He did start his kingdom. While on earth, in the book of Mark, chapter 9, verse 1, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, there be those standing here which shall in no wise taste of death until they see the kingdom of God come with power. That wasn't said in 2001 A.D. That was said way back yonder about 30 A.D. Shortly before the kingdom was established. Jesus said, people here are going to stay alive until they see the kingdom of God come with power. And so after his death on the cross and his resurrection from the dead, the apostle said to him, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom unto Israel? He said, it's not given for you to know the times or the seasons, but you'll receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and in the uttermost part of the earth. Acts chapter 1, starting with verse 6 and going down through verse 8. In that generation, the power and the kingdom would come together. And he said that would come with the Holy Ghost. The very next chapter in the book of Acts tells you upon the first day of the week, that was not the name of a church, says upon the Sabbath day. No. It says on the day of Pentecost. The day of Pentecost was Sunday, the first day of the week. The apostles were all gathered together on the day of Pentecost. It was a day, not the name of a church, and it was not even a Christian day, but a Jewish day. But they were gathered together on that day. And suddenly there came from heaven the sound of a rushing mighty wind. Cloven tongues of fire set upon, likened to fire, set upon each of them. And they're all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And then that's verse 4. You drop on down to about verse 6 and 7. And you find out that the tongues was not a senseless jabber, but what the tongues were languages by real miracle. These fishermen and lowly men, the poorly educated in the ways of the world, were educated from heaven. And they spoke languages by miracle. And all the people said, wow. They were amazed. How hear we every man in our own tongue or language wherein we were born? They spoke in tongues and the people heard them in the language where they were born. Miracle. The kingdom of God began. Power came. Holy Spirit came. And the generation, those people still alive, the kingdom came. That was the beginning day for the Lord's church. And the people heard the gospel, and the Apostle Peter stood up and preached to them. Oh, such a wonderful message about Jesus. Jesus, 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 from verse 14 right on down through verse 36. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made that same Jesus whom you have crucified both Lord and Christ. He's speaking to the people that killed Jesus. And when they heard this, they were pricked in the heart. And they cried out and said, men and brethren, what shall we do? They believed, but they were still lost. Believe, but not saved. What shall we do? And the very next verse, verse 38. And Peter said unto them, repent. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promise is unto you and your children, them that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. We are as far off as you can get from there to now in time. And we're about as far off as you can get distant-wise from where they were. But the promise is to you, and to your children, and them that are far off. Same thing. Jesus is the Lord, number one. His word is the guide, number two. And his kingdom is the family of God. Obey the gospel of Jesus. Save yourselves from this untoward generation, he continues and says. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day, there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they were praising God, having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. That's New Testament Christianity we're talking about. We're not trying to build up a little congregation, a little church, a denomination known as the Church of Christ. That's not our purpose here. That wasn't why this congregation was established. This congregation was established in an attempt to take the old church that you read about in the old Bible, about the old Savior, and plant that church on the solid ground right here in Plymouth. The people could do exactly the same thing today that they did on that day of Pentecost. They could obey the same gospel those people obeyed more than, 2,000 years ago and be added to the same church. Not Protestantism, not Catholicism, Christianity. And the Lord would put them in the same church, and then they could meet together, study the Bible together as we've done today, worship together as we are doing today. And let the Bible be our guide. Let Jesus be their leader. Let him be their reverend teacher. Let him be the exalted one, him the master, and all of us students together. Study together, worship together, and love each other together. Oh, if you want to go to heaven, you have to love Jesus. You have to love his word. You have to love his church. To love his church doesn't just mean to love his church in general, but he even brings it down into particular. And says in the book of John, chapter 13, verse 34 and 35, a new commandment give unto you, this is Jesus speaking, a new commandment give unto you that you love one another. Well, what's new about that? Everybody's been loving since the days of Adam and Eve. He didn't finish. That you love one another, even as I have loved you. That's where it comes to the rub. That's where it comes to the hard part, is loving each other like Jesus loved us. No man hath greater love than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You're my friends if you do whatsoever I say unto you. Jesus said that in John chapter 15. Greater love, he gave his life for us. And now he says, love each other that way. Down in Trinidad upon one occasion, we have a school of preaching down there that Donna is the music teacher in that school. And seven of us are currently Bible teachers in the school. But I was in chapel, and one of our young men was standing up preaching, and he was talking about Jesus as he had been taught to do, and he was talking about the sacrifice that God had made in giving Jesus. He just turned over to me and he said, "Parker, would you give your son?" And I found myself wanting to shake my head. Don and I have two sons. I couldn't think of either one of them that I wanted to sacrifice, but I started to shake my head, and then I said, "Yes, by the way, yes, I would give my son." 25 years we've given him as a missionary over in Thailand. That's where he is today. "Would you give your daughter?" "Oh, yes." We gave Priscilla for 4 years a missionary to Thailand. Yes. Another daughter? Yes. We gave Rebecca. She's a missionary over in Africa and been there for 30 years with her family. And Jeannie? Yes, we gave her as the wife of an elder in the church in Palestine, Texas. What about that little old adopted boy you got, that Chinese boy, non-white fella in your family? You give? Yes, we gave him as a missionary in Thailand where he is, in Trinidad where he is today, preaching the gospel. People, we are to love Jesus. Love his word. Love each other. And love a world that's lost in sin. So Jesus said to his disciples that loved each other with this kind of love, "Go in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned." This wonderful message we got is for the whole world. And you know how we're going to take the message to the whole world? It's when we love Jesus and we love his word. We love his church and we love a lost world. And send our children, take it ourselves. I've thought many times about the congregation right here. I was visiting some 50 years ago, or more than that now, with a young couple that had 3 children. And they said, "We're going to be missionaries." They didn't say it quite that way. "We're going to start the congregation in Plymouth, Florida." "How are you going to do that?" "Well, you can go around the congregations and get enough money to send a preacher." "Well, that's one way to do it." I did it that way, to Thailand. "No, we're just going to move there." And so Philip and Ruth and a few others just moved here. That's why we have this beautiful building, this beautiful congregation. And the cause of Christ is known in this city and throughout this state. It's a congregation of love because somebody said, "We just move there and do it." Thank God for people that do what Jesus said because they love Jesus, they love his word, they love his church, and they love a lost world enough to give their whole families in the service of that wonderful Jesus. How about you today? As we bring our lesson to a close, how about you? Unto the angel of the church in Ephesus write, "These things saith he that holdeth the 7 stars in his right hand, he who walks among the 7 golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them that are evil, and hast tried them to say they're apostles and are not, and have found them to be liars, and have worked and labored and have patience." "And have labored for my name's sake and have not fainted. But I have somewhat against you, because you have forgotten or left your first love. Wherefore remember from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, else I will come unto thee quickly and remove his candlestick from his place, except ye repent. Oh, but this thou hast. Thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which things I also hate. He that hath ear to hear, let him hear what the angel, what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh, I will give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Revelation chapter 2, verse 1 through 7. Is it possible that even in a congregation that's known for its love like this, that maybe you haven't yet practiced that kind of love? Maybe you're just now falling in love with Jesus and thus willing to give your life to Him. Confess Him before this group, just like the people on the day of Pentecost, believing that He's the Christ, the Son of God, to be buried with Him in baptism. Oh, I know Brother Monty would just love today, or one of the elders would just love today to baptize you for the remission of your sins right here. That you might be raised to walk in newness of life. That the Lord might add you to His family. And then as a Christian, a real Christian, love Jesus. Love His Word. Love His church. Love each other. Love a lost world. To give yourself the rest of your life for the greatest cause there ever was. And when this world is on fire and the place is smoking and burning up, the only thing that's worthwhile is what have you done in reference to Jesus. Do you love Him? Do you love His Word? Do you love His church? Do you love a world that's lost? And the Savior that gave you the instructions enough to obey Him. If you're subject to the gospel cause, we invite you to come today and confess Christ and be baptized. Or to come if you've fallen by the wayside, if you've lost that love that you once had or maybe never have had, and you want us to pray together for God to bless you with the kind of love that you want to have in your heart. The elders will be so glad to pray for you this very day. If any way you're subject to the gospel call, we invite you to come and for all of us to always remember, love Jesus Christ. Love His Word. Love His church. And love a world that's lost enough so that you'll give your life to save them. Jesus did, you know. Shall we stand while we sing?